A 1 billion rand blended finance program has been launched to bridge the national housing gap. With me is Alessandro Scalco of RMB Sustainable Finance. Welcome, Alessandro.
Thank you very much for having me.
Who are you partnering with?
We've partnered with the actual implementer being Inlu Living. Inlu's been around for a number of years and have been focusing on funding the rental market in the informal communities. And so we've managed to partner with them on this transaction.
So how will this program work exactly? Or how does it work? It's already happening, isn't it?
Yes. So where Inlu started was they started to look at the backyard rental market in those informal communities in South Africa. And in particular, they saw a need for financing housing and actually improving the type of quality of housing that people would put into their backyard units to rent out. And often the reason for that is that those properties are the only asset that they have. And so they need to somehow make a return off of it. And this is how this sort of market has developed over many, many years. And it's not a traditional space for banks to fund, and banks can't quite understand it. Inlu then also saw that market evolving over time, and they saw the need where people are identifying that there's properties that are not being lived on and could be bought, or properties that they could be transformed into full rental properties. And they then approached us looking for a way of funding the sort of growth of their business, and in particular this new area, which they call independent property partners. And that looks at almost property entrepreneurs who identify pieces of land in these informal communities and decide to buy the land and then put a 6 to 8 dwelling unit on and rent out those units. And so what we basically did was we looked at the model and we said, well, how is this different to a home loan securitization that the bank's doing anyway? There is no difference. And why can't we replicate something like that, which is tried and tested in the market in this space? And that is kind of the genesis of why we went the route we did. So we developed a blended finance model using securitizations as the ultimate vehicle. And in that replicated very familiar models in the commercial markets that are used by banks. And the first part of the transaction is a warehouse component, which essentially provides the financing to do the construction of the unit or renovation of the unit. And once those units are ready and they are what we refer to as stabilized, meaning that there is rental income being generated from those units, those units are then sold into the securitization structure. And again, this is a common structure in the South African market. And I think a really important point is we went that route because we actually want to show that there is no difference in how we fund the commercial market and what traditionally done, and why can't you apply it to, you know, areas of the market like this? And I think it was a very big point for us to demonstrate that you can take this mainstream, and it's actually quite easy to take it mainstream. It's just you have to be quite thoughtful in how you structure then within using these mainstream type of vehicles.
Who are your main beneficiaries?
The main beneficiaries are the actual property entrepreneurs who get the financing to build the units and then rent out the units and earn an income. But there's also a lot of other beneficiaries. So obviously there's beneficiaries in that there's more available units to be rented in these areas. Now that benefits the tenants. And the reason that benefits the tenants is, number one, the units are built to a certain level. So the quality is really good for rental. And also just from their perspective, a lot of the people who rent these units do so because of the proximity to work. So that lowers the cost of transport for them. So it's really kind of benefiting them from that perspective. But also there's other beneficiaries in this, in that local contractors are used to actually build the properties. So you're benefiting local contractors, you're creating jobs and expertise in those local communities for the people, not just the property entrepreneurs, but also the local contractors.
How big is the national housing gap at present?
Currently, it's sitting at approximately 2.3 million units. I mean, that can vary, I guess, on a day-to-day basis, but currently that's the estimate, about 2.2 million units.
And what has this program delivered? How many units has this project delivered thus far?
So the project's just started. So we are in the first sort of cohort or series of building units. The aim would be to, you know, and again, it's hard to estimate how many units because each property entrepreneur, depending on the size of the land, depending on the architectural design, depending on the approval from the municipality for zoning rights and things like that, each property can be between 2 to even 8 units on a piece of land that could be built. We estimate in approximately 2,000 units will be built from this program over the life of it. So once it gets to full scale, but it could be significantly more. It could be double that depending on the opportunity, depending on the size. But I mean, I think what's really important from this is actually that this is a blueprint. And the idea is not to do this as a once-off transaction. The idea was to actually build this capital market vehicle to allow Enloot to go into the market again to raise more funding to build more units. Enloot will, Esther, they'll tell you, and Kobus and the team will tell you, they estimate the gap just in Gauteng to be probably about 5 billion rand that is needed to kind of finance the units that are available that would be needed. But I mean, I think that's a far greater need across South Africa. And I think the need will probably keep on growing and probably outpaced by just population growth versus the ability to build.
You mentioned job creation. Can you give us an idea how many jobs have been created thus far?
So, I mean, from our project specifically, we haven't started to measure that because it's a little too early on. But I mean, Enloot have created quite a few jobs just through the current sort of model that they have. And that really speaks to, it's two aspects to it. So I wouldn't classify the entrepreneurs as a job created, but it is an income that they are earning. So you could maybe, I mean, in traditional sense, it wouldn't be a job, but it is a source of income that they are now going to generate. But from a pure sort of job creation perspective, those local contractors, there's quite a few local contractors that had built up teams, built up businesses. One of the success stories is one of the local contractors actually now does work across Sandton four ways, you know. So they've actually kind of branched out of just focusing on, you know, working with the Enloot team to build those units, to building across South Africa or building across Gauteng. And that's actually such a great story. It just shows you that the power of getting an opportunity.
Are you inundated by interest from various parties?
Yes, we've been approached quite a bit recently from people asking us, can we replicate this? Not only in the sort of housing space, but also just generally across what we could look at in the sort of informal communities, and is there sort of a model that can be replicated in other spaces? But yes, I mean, it's definitely gathered a lot of attention and something which we're very excited about.
And people who are hearing about this now for the first time, what procedures should they follow?
So I think, I mean, initial conversation with us is always useful to understand, you know, what are you looking at? What is your business model? The fortunate thing with Enloot is Enloot had a track record and had built up a couple of years of experience. And it was really, really data driven. So one of the things about Enloot, which I think is often missing, and why I think that actually a lot of financial institutions haven't really got to grips in this space and in this economy, is because they had at least, you know, almost maybe 10 years worth of data from the property rental market and understanding sort of the behavior of, you know, tenants and, you know, property entrepreneurs in this community. So when we started to kind of scratch underneath the model and look at what they were asking for and understanding what we could do with them, we had a lot of data to work with. Now, having that data is really, really important. So I think one of the sort of gaps is, you know, we found quite a mature operator or implementer that had the data that was easy to work with. They also had a track record on the business that, like, had been established for a number of years. that's always going to be to the benefit and will always be easier to do something with because you do have already someone who has a track record and has that data. I think if someone is thinking about this, they would need to be able to demonstrate that they've been doing it for a few years. And it also just speaks to the softer side of things a little bit. Yeah, it's not just about the data. It's about the lessons that the InLoop team will tell you they learned about rolling out their projects in these communities. You know, like, for example, the use of local contractors. I know I've mentioned this a few times, but when they first started, they didn't use local contractors, and that caused issues. The fact that, you know, they paint their buildings in a certain branding color, and initially that wasn't well received, but now that's exceptionally well received because it kind of identifies it as this is InLoo units within this community, and that's actually worked in their favor. So there's smaller aspects and softer aspects to this, which they don't come out in the data, but they come out from someone who's been on the ground for a while and understands those communities. And those are the softer aspects of these transactions, which you can't quantify in a financial, you know, model or in a legal agreement, but you take that view on the sponsor or the implementer because you know that they actually understand the market they're working in.
In which areas can these units be viewed?
So the main sort of region right now is Tembisa. If you go to Tembisa, you'll see quite a few of the units. It's white and green. So they're mainly white and have a green stripe across the building. I almost say it looked for me for the first time, because they kind of very much look the same. They do look like these sort of Borwin or these large estate type properties where they keep this format kind of the same. So it does look, you'll notice it's a mile away and they actually stick out across. Tembisa is a great example close by in Johannesburg.
What else can you tell us about this program going forward?
Yeah, so I think the program going forward, it really, as I mentioned, I think the intention really is to grow this. This is the start. You know, we were very fortunate in that we had partners not just in the InLoo space, but across the First Rand group. Our group supported us in various formats, from F&B to our treasury team to our own foundations, but also the capital markets. FST Africa as an anchor investor into the warehouse was hugely catalytic. So we are looking to grow this. We're looking to grow and help InLoo use this platform and this capital markets platform as a way of growing their business, but growing the impact from their business. Because, I mean, at the core of what Kurbis does is it's about the impact. It's about what he's been able to help, you know, people in those communities, whether it's from an income perspective because they can rent out their units now, or whether it's from a local contractor who now is able to employ three or four people and feed their family. You know, he's very passionate about that aspect, and that aligns and resonates with R&B as well, in the sense that we're also looking to, you know, be impactful with the way we use the resources that we have at our disposal. And so, yeah, I mean, really kind of trying to grow this into a much bigger program and try and, you know, work alongside the InLoo team to scale this up to the ambition that they have of reaching a sort of 5 billion rand funding platform with the way we use a couple of years.
Do you think R&B will inspire other financial institutions to follow in your social responsibility footsteps in this way?
I hope so. I mean, I can only speak on R&B's behalf and say that, you know, it's part of what we do is looking at all aspects of a transaction, from the commercial aspects to the impact and the social and sustainable side of it. And I hope it does set a blueprint for the market to also replicate and do more. You know, we're very open and happy for more of these type of vehicles to come to market, because it ultimately is addressing a need in the country. So it's not about one being doing it and another not doing it. It's about, we see the opportunity, we see the need, we're going to address it. If others replicate it, well, it's addressing a need in the country, and that's a good thing.
Thank you. That was Alessandro Scalco of RMB Sustainable Finance speaking to Biz News. I'm Christine. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox. Sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now. In uncertain times, good information is priceless. The BizNews Conference is heading back to the Drakensberg. Join me, Alec Hogg, from the 11th to the 14th of August for BNC 9, Champagne Sports Resort, where it all began and where our community gathers for honest conversations, smart investing insights, and direct access to some of South Africa's sharpest minds. Come and rub shoulders with the best we've got. 28 keynote speakers, 3 days. Seats are available now. Book your seat by clicking the link in the description.